you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
Upon the cave, every foul wicked spirit in the host, The Ooze.
20 minutes, that door of a on The Ooze, right now.
On The Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
To really happen to have a serial current
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
It's that time again, and you are listening to The Ooze Outbreak Edition with your hosts TC Downey and Jason Sorrell. TC, what's going on, man?
Not a whole hell of a lot, man. Ending a day of, semi-festivities and, kind of sitting there thinking to myself, actually, if our troll is going to, come into this show too, because I don't know if you know this, but this weekend we developed a troll that calls into the show under the number 11111111.
Wow.
Yeah, so... Just something
so we're stepping up.
yeah, we're stepping up, man, definitely. We're developing our own homegrown audio trolls. It's pretty kick-ass, man.
You're doing something. You're effective when the haters come out, man.
Yeah, man. So how many Easter eggs did you find today, man?
I had our six-year-old found a dozen because I wasn't going to hide any more of the damn things and be responsible for them. So that's all we dealt with was a dozen of them. And Easter at our house is nothing but a basket of candy and the eggs and watching Disney movies pretty much all day, and that's pretty much it. So that's as spiritual as we get on Easter Sunday. So.
Yeah. I don't know.
How about your kid? How'd he do?
It was great this year. This is the first year. He's four now, so it's the first year that he actually, like, woke up and realized that he needed to start looking for eggs immediately. So it was awesome. I mean, by the time he came out of his bedroom, he had, like, a dozen eggs in his hand, and he's like, I need a basket to put these in. And I'm like, well, maybe the Easter Bunny left you one. Maybe you got to find a basket. So he started looking around the house, and sure enough, he finds a basket. So, then he went on to find the other dozen eggs that were hidden and ate chocolate until he got to the point where he was misbehaving, and then we had to cut him off. We had a nice ham dinner, and other than that, I've been arguing with my brother all damn day. So, if you want to call it...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you want to call it a spiritual day, then I guess, yeah, there you go.
All right. Well, we might be doing a little bit of arguing tonight, not necessarily between you and I, but with our listeners. I see there's the chat room is already packed, so thanks for coming out. Tonight we're going to be talking about, and I think this has been kind of billed as working towards a series of discussions regarding collaboration in our subculture as Satanists or individualists or people interested in the occult or left-hand path, whatever you want to call yourself, those people who have a sort of similar mindset, a similar philosophy, actually starting to come together and collaborate in different ways. And what we wanted to do this evening, first of all, just point out that we don't necessarily have an agenda. We don't have anything that we're trying to necessarily promote ourselves. We're all interested. I'm speaking for TC, Zach, Dark Fool, myself. We're all interested in collaborative efforts. We're all interested in being part of something bigger. If it's something within our particular parameters as far as our agendas are concerned and what it is we're trying to accomplish individually. And that seems to be the thing that's echoing through the halls of our subcultures is that there are a lot of people talking about, well, what is it we're trying to do? When you talk about, let's say, for example, the Satanist movement, well, what's it moving towards? What is it we're trying to accomplish, or what could be some of the things that we're trying to accomplish. And there are a lot of personalities involved in that whole movement, that whole process, that have come at it from different angles. So what I thought we'd do tonight is we kind of have a semi-serious discussion about just some of the folks that stand out really as people that have been involved, either talking about unification or are trying to bring people together for some sort of purpose. And we want to kind of discuss the pros and cons of what they've been doing, you know, their methodology, their agendas, and everything else, and why those things have either worked or they failed, you know, kind of to kind of get an idea basically of what it takes really to have this self-reliant individualist point of view, but still be able to work with others, still be able to understand that there's a limit to how much one person can do and what benefits would come of dealing with others on a regular basis on long-term projects and agendas. So I think that sums it up, right, Matt?
Yeah, that sums it up. I just think real quick, Jason, like I mentioned before the show, what we're really talking about is not what Satanism should be doing. What we're looking at is Satanists, you know, people who want to do something. You know, the people who have no interest, there's no reason to even really involve them, I don't think.
Right.
Yeah, I just want to make it clear that we're not suggesting that, hey, this whole movement should develop some kind of crusade. We're saying if we all pull together, lock arms, you know, we might actually all be able to benefit from interacting with each other in more than just an exchange of knowledge. So with all that in mind, let's, you know, get on with it.
Right, definitely. And that's, a unified Satanism is clearly just not really a possibility. It's not even necessarily desirable. But people, you know, Satanists or individuals, you know, whatever, however you want to identify yourself, if you have a certain philosophy, a certain sort of a point of view or set of values, and you choose to organize, you see the benefit of organizing with other people. That's kind of what we're talking about. So, We got a list of names, and let me get the number in case anybody wants to call in. That number is 347-989-1371. Like I said, we're going to kind of we've got a list of names. We're not necessarily going to hit every name. We're going to bring some names up and everything else, people we want to talk about. And again, it's going to be, you know, pros and cons. So we're not trying to rag on anybody. We're not trying to celebrate anybody. It's just we're going to pretty much try to be cut and dry with it. And right down the middle of the road as far as, you know, what's going on with these folks. We're going for an honest perspective. So let me look at my list here. I'm going to start right off the bat maybe with a negative so that we can talk about what would be a positive. Right off the top of my list is Paul Valentine. Now, Paul Valentine has been publicly part of the Satanist subculture since the 1980s. He was part of the Satanic Panic. He spoke out basically in defense of people's rights to be, you know, Satanists or whatever it is they're going to be. And he promoted himself as a Satanist, but he had a very different spin on what Satanism was. Okay? So, very vocal about what it is he's, you know, he is about. Very, very self-promoting and very interested in his own agenda. Very passionate about his politics. Paul Valentine, I think, has a very clear, defined idea of who Paul Valentine is, and you know what he promotes as Paul Valentine. Now, in my opinion, the negative with Paul Valentine is that that's all he's about is Paul Valentine. There's not much else going on there. You know, when he does a radio show and it's about, you know, him doing dishes or what he's cooking for dinner that night, he thinks that's high entertainment for his listeners. And for some of the sycophants that suck up to him, that is the case. He had nothing going on beyond that. He might have some, I know that he has some local agendas. Every once in a while he'll do some things for, you know, for charity or whatever, but it's all under the auspices and banner of the cult of Paul Valentine, or, you know, whatever he calls his organization. So,
right, I don't even know what that organization's called, man, so I couldn't tell you.
Right. And every time I said it in the past, I think I've gotten it wrong. So, and he cries about it when I do, because he listens, apparently. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. And that I think is necessary for anybody that's considering being part of a collaborative effort. You first have to have a very clear sense of self and what it is you want to get out of whatever it is you're doing. And you have to go for those things. You have to kind of almost have a selfishness to yourself, to what it is you're doing, but not so much to the point where it has to be all about you or it isn't worth doing. Because then you find yourself by yourself, which, given, you know, who we're talking about, Paul Valentine, that tends to be the way things go for him.
Let me just quickly throw in here, Jason, that the opposite of that is true for somebody seeking the opposite, meaning, Paul Valentine seeking the formation of this organization for whatever it is that he wants to try to gain out of it, which we really don't know. And the reverse should be said for membership, too, and I think this is actually one of the fallbacks of his little deal, is that he actually is trying to charge money to give these people nothing. So, to me, there's not even, like, any reason to join that because he doesn't offer any kind of benefit from it.
Well, you're exactly right. What it is, it seems to be his membership fee for his organization. Well, you're giving to the Paul Valentine charity to support the lifestyle of Paul Valentine. And it's just not a very good investment. Yeah, definitely. I think if you're looking to be part of an organization, that's, I guess, you know what? In my opinion, that's the backwards way to go about things. You shouldn't be looking to be part of an organization. You shouldn't be looking to be part of a collaborative effort. You should look for something that you want to accomplish. You should have a certain agenda for yourself. And if you reach a point where you aren't able to meet that agenda as you would like, then it might be time to look at organizing with other people. So when you approach an organization, in my opinion, it should be self-serving. Now, there are a lot of people who join Paul Valentine's group or support Paul Valentine just because they like Paul Valentine. That's all fine and good. But I don't think anybody that's serious about doing things for themselves is interested in joining a cult of personality, basically.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So,
I agree with that.
Let's get off of Paul Valentine. Let's move on to, let me throw some. Do you have any names in mind that you want to throw out there before I keep going down my list?
At the minute, no. I just figured we'd kind of take a look at who you'd written down. To be honest with you, you pay attention to who the Joneses are in Satanism sometimes a little more than I do. I follow a very narrow group of people, so it's difficult for me. And because you are more active in promoting yourself outside of the networks that you actually support, you run across the who's who a little more than me. You know what I mean?
Right on. So, well, the next name I'd want to bring up is John Ali. You mispronouncing John's name. I have a modicum of respect for John Ali because, just because of, what he's done as far as his different organizations, he seems to be actually reaching for something. There actually seems to be some sort of agenda going on with John. There seems to be some sort of development and process of exploration. The problem with John, in my opinion, he has an agenda. He has something he's going for, and he gives back to his members. The people that participate with him, they're involved in this learning process, just as John's involved in this learning process, whatever that may be. So they're, when they're exploring different ideas about the occult or magic or whatever they do, whatever John and Lily do, I know they do some beneficial things, basically. But again, there's a bit of cult of personality there going as well. That John's of the mentality that, and this is an observer, that having been a former member of the Church of Satan from, close to the beginning, if not at the beginning of it or whatever, he thinks he's entitled to some respect or some deference that isn't necessarily earned all the time. He doesn't recognize the idea that if you're going to have position in an organization, you have to constantly establish, in my opinion, why it is you have that position. If you're a leader, you have to constantly show why you are the leader, why you should be a leader. And that's if you're in a group or in participating in something where leaders are necessary, which I think what we're talking about doing as far as collaboration is concerned isn't. But there are a lot of people who will sign up for, you know, some sort of project or whatever, get involved in everything, and they'll expect some sort of respect for themselves because they're a 10th degree Wicca, hoodoo, you know, Gnostic, whatever, with the 31st degree level of Freemasonry, and they stuck their finger in Charlie Sheen's ass once at a party. So that, I think all that should entitle them to some, you know, some sort of, you know, fast track to respect from other people rather than, well, what are you doing for us right now? John Ali isn't, he's doing things, but, you know, there's a lot of, what are you doing for us right now? I'm sure he is doing things and everything else, but I think he expects more for his, you know, just history and his lineage rather than what he's actually accomplishing at the moment.
Yeah, I would agree with that, man. I don't really know much about Ali, except where he seems to say really quirky, kind of contradictive things to me, so I've just never followed the guy.
Right on.
So, I'm saying, I don't have an opinion, really.
Right on. So, okay, well, let's grab another, I'll pull another name out of the hat here. Let me make sure nobody's calling in or anything. All right, cool. Let's throw out Boyd Rice. Okay.
Boyd Rice.
Boyd Rice, a lot of respect for Boyd Rice because he is Boyd Rice. Because, and what I mean by that is it's not that he's necessarily full of himself or that he just, you know, he's on the Boyd Rice trip, but he's actually out there doing all the time, it seems like. He's got, you know, 4, 5, 6, you know, tongs in the fire at all times, and he's always doing different things, being Boyd Rice, basically, living the Boyd Rice life. So Boyd Rice rocks as far as all that's concerned. What Boyd Rice is lacking, okay, is that Boyd Rice has very little interest in a social agenda, if you will. Boyd Rice, you know, is just because, I mean, it's a choice. You either are concerned about, you know, the culture and politics and the social agenda, or you do your own thing. You go out there and you just live your life and hope that the environment that you're living your life in is stable enough to allow you to do what you do. Okay, that's what I think is part of the reason that we're talking about collaborating. Okay, Boyd Rice doing what he does, and we, you know, I agree. I try to, you know, I live that way. Okay, but Boyd Rice doing what he does doesn't take into account that he's taking advantage of an environment, a social and political environment that allows for that level of freedom. And as Dark Pool, I'm sure, would point out if he were participating this evening, is that there are a lot of threats out there right now to that environment, to that opportunity to do whatever it is you want to do. So as individuals, in my opinion, if you don't take some steps to make sure that that environment is stable, that environment will continue to be, that the folks that are trying to erode those rights from out from under us are stopped, well then Boyd Rice might find himself one day in a position where everything he does is being censored, everything that he's involved in becomes fine, and that he's very limited in scope. Now, if that means that he's producing his music in his house and he's the only one that listens to it, that may be the case, that may be fine for Boyd Rice, but for a lot of us, that wouldn't be fine. We would definitely want to be able to be out there, have our audience, have our voice, and have the freedom to have the discourse that we have now.
Right on. My commentary on Boyd Rice is pretty damn simple. It is a real shame that he has the opinion about collaborating and about kind of organizing and working towards an agenda that he does, because of all the people that I've ever become familiar with throughout Satanism that have the ability to be a very strong leader, if you want to use that term, Boyd Rice is it. That man is just phenomenal, in my opinion. So.
Right. Well, Boyd, in my opinion, has the ultimate individualist mindset. And he's exactly the quality you're talking about. He knows who he is, he has his agenda, and he can give a shit about anything else. So he's totally focused on what it is he's trying to accomplish. He's totally focused on just developing what he does and making it happen. So the rest of it kind of just goes out the window. And again, that's, you know, it's awesome. But you have to be concerned, or you have, there has to be some, in my opinion, there has to be some sense of self-defense, some sense of self-preservation that recognizes that, hey, while I'm doing my own thing, I have the freedom to do it right now because I exist in a certain social environment. And there are threats to that environment as we speak, basically.
Yeah. I mean,
right, so it looks like...
It's a... Are you there?
Yeah, I still hear you.
All right. It's a pretty lazy thing, in my opinion, to think to yourself that somebody else will continue to ensure that you're secured those freedoms. So,
right. Or it's the, I forget what the, there's a law. There's a law. It's not necessarily a law, but it's kind of a psychological thing where you see this as, with people who invest in something. They'll be investing in, say, hell, I don't know. Let's say GE, because GE has been around forever, okay? And no matter how GE does, even if GE stock is in the tank, they continue to invest in GE because that's just what they're familiar with. They don't adjust to whatever's going on. They don't have the sense of going, you know what, I need to pay attention. I need to, you know, make sure that I'm in the proper environment to make the most of my investment. So there's this, you know, there's this mentality that, and I don't know that Mr. Rice has this mentality, but there's this mentality out there that, you know what, America will always be America. Our freedoms will always be our freedoms. The sun will always rise and that kind of thing. But take a look around, folks, because the this country is unique, and that uniqueness has allowed Satanism to rise to the levels it has in the public, you know, in the mainstream. That could be all taken away from us, and that could be taken away from us very quickly. So let me get to this caller here. Let's see here. 661 area code, you are on the ooze. What's on your brain, man?
Gentlemen, it's Dark Fool.
Julio.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Not much, man. For some reason, the chat room hasn't loaded on my screen, but I've been here for the entire duration of the show. So.
Right on.
But, yeah, first of all, I would like to make a correction way back when you were talking about Paul Valentine. Just a small amendment. He does not do any charities. That's been discussed, and the person who blew the lid off of that was Chloe, his someone who was very close to him, let's just say that. All of that can be seen on PDV Exposed. You know, if you go to youtube.com/PDV Exposed, you can see all of the different people that give their accounts. He doesn't give money to charity. He uses it for his beer fund because he's a raging alcoholic. That's all.
I figured the only charity he really supported was the Paul Valentine charity, but I wasn't going to research the guy that deeply. So, yeah, but thank you for that correction.
No problem. Anyway, moving right along, gentlemen. Let's see. Now, again, you mentioned me by name, so of course I had to call in. And, yes, I agree 100%. Those freedoms can be taken from us. And, in fact, if we're not careful, if you look at the trends, things are on the decline for this country. As great as this country is and as wonderful as it's been to allow us to present our ideas and, you know, to manifest in the way that we have, those are, in a sense, under attack.
Right. And you know, that's exactly. And it's, they've been under attack also for the history of this country, but now there seems to be a pervasive element within our actual society, within our government, within our culture, within our own, you know, social, you know, groupings that is that's in favor of doing away with a lot of the freedoms we have, a lot of the abilities we have to express ourselves and everything else, in favor of, I don't know, something else. And it's hard for me to imagine what that something else is. So as individuals, if we start to collaborate, if we start to come together, and, you know, basically, even if it's just sounding the alarm, hey, if you like the ooze, keep in mind that the stuff that's going on with the Internet in Congress right now, they're talking about limiting what kind of chatter can go on the Internet and everything else. So if you like the ooze, you like listening to this show, pay attention and let the people that you vote for know that you're not interested in Internet censorship, otherwise the ooze might go away. That kind of thing is what we're talking about.
Yeah,
exactly. There's many more levels to it, of course. Now, Jason, we've been in correspondence, you know, through email. I wanted to ask you if you would be willing to share some of the content of those emails and some of the ideas you had outlined.
Well, and it's like what we talked about in our email is pretty much what we're talking about tonight. Is what, and I want this to be kind of a drawn-out conversation because I want to give people an opportunity to really mull this over and hopefully get involved in the discourse we're having. And I don't have the email up in front of me right now, so I'd have to click around and everything. But I do have something I wanted to do since we got you on the phone right now.
Okay.
One of the things, since we're talking about other people, I thought we'd go ahead and throw us into the mix.
Okay.
DC Downey, Jason Sorrell, Zach Black, and Dark Fool, your hosts on The Ooze. The pros and cons, and this is going to be weird talking about it myself, so if you want to call in and give your opinion, again, the phone number is 347-989-1371. But the pros and cons of what we got going on, we're obviously interested in collaboration. We're obviously interested in discourse and being involved with other people and working to, you know, promote other people and promote ourselves and things like that. I think where we kind of fall short is that we all have our individual agendas, and that's all fine and good. And a lot of what we do has been done up to this point really as a matter of entertainment. And that may not be purely the case, but that's definitely the way that it may be perceived. We do the radio show for fun. We do the YouTube things for fun. We do the, you know, the forums for fun and everything else. It's a way of entertaining ourselves. I can tell you that, you know, if we're talking to these two guys directly, that's not the case. That we're actually, you know, we're all three, and Zach included in this, all four of us, we're all out there trying to have an impact. We're trying to make things better. We all may have different definitions of what better is. But I think we have, as a group, a kind of a perception issue that we're just four guys kind of, you know, goofing on the internet every once in a while. And we do that. We do a lot of that. You know, don't get me wrong. So I think there needs to be a sense of, you know, this is real life, man, that we're trying to do some, we're trying to make something happen. This is not something that you want to do. You don't want to collaborate with other individuals and just be into it because it's something to do on a Friday night. You need to be serious about what it is you're trying to accomplish.
Exactly.
I think that's going to change. That perception of, you know, of what we're trying to do will change in time. We're still going to be the same fun, you know, fun-loving kooks that come on here every Sunday night and goof on, you know, different sexual habits of pygmies in Africa. But we're also very serious about what it is we're doing and making sure we maintain those freedoms and ability to do what we want to do. So if anyone wants to call in and talk about, you know, what kind of assholes we are, give us a call. 347-989-1371.
I want to throw this out. I really want to hear from a couple of people what they think so far. I've seen a lot of conversation in the chat room, but it's almost like we're afraid of touching on this. Like, you know, you might slip up and do something wrong, and I don't think that's necessarily the case. We're trying to discuss this as a set of peers. You know, we're trying to facilitate a conversation of some kind with everybody that listens to us and interacts with us. We want to know if you're interested so far, or if there's something you see as being a downfall of what we talked about up until this point. So, go ahead.
Infotainment is part of our shtick. Infotainment is part of what we do. But I can guarantee that, like Bork, who's in the chat room right now, he didn't put the Go to Mendez organization together. He didn't put that website together, the library together, and everything else just to be entertaining for people, just to give people something to do. He wanted to actually interact with, and here I am speaking for somebody else again. I'm sure he wanted to actually interact with other people and be stimulated himself as far as his ideas and his development are concerned and everything else. And unfortunately, when you look at even the Satanic International Network, there are a lot of people in there who are just in there to be entertained. Be entertained or be validated. And and you see this amongst different personalities in the Satanist movement. That I don't think is the way to go. If you're gonna, again, it's the idea of, you know, knowing who you are, knowing what it is you're trying to accomplish and being willing to go for that. That's where, you know, when you reach that point where, you know what, as an individual, I can only do so much, but with collaborating with others, I can do more versus, like I said, having something to do on Friday night.
You know, speaking of collaboration, I want to take a look really quickly, you know, with, you know, all of the religious or anti-religious stuff aside, I want to take a look at the group, you know, Anonymous. I'm sure. Are you gentlemen? I can't speak today. Are you gentlemen familiar with Anon?
I'm familiar with Anonymous. Yes.
Right now, Anon has caused quite a spark. They've one of the most notable ones was when they found out a lot of stuff that was going on with Scientology, and they protested all at once in different locations, you know, different buildings, the Scientology buildings, and they caused quite a ruckus. Now, I mean, things like that, I mean, even though there's no profit generated, there's no money to be made from it, there's still, that's quite an accomplishment for people to get out from, you know, just seriously pop out of the woodwork and just do something that had some sort of an effect.
And that action, that protest, one of those protests happened here in Austin, Texas, where these folks, all they did was go down to the Scientology building and on downtown the drag, right across from the UT campus, and stand there with signs, basically, you know, just giving some facts about Scientology.
And Guy Fawkes masks.
Right, and these Scientologists actually came out of the building and kind of chased them down, like followed them for blocks and everything else, okay? And the reason that Anon did this kind of thing was, I mean, they recognized that there was a threat to our, you know, their what they perceived as the social values that were worthy of defending, okay? They saw Scientology as a dangerous organization, you know, dangerous not just to the people that participate in Scientology, but a threat to our society as a whole. They decided to take some action, and they, you know, they put this thing together, and they, you know, that's what was going on with Anon. Now, so that's, again, it's a positive thing. There wasn't a profit motive there. There wasn't any benefit to them as far as making money. They took their own time to go out and do this. But, you know, they would benefit from one organization, Scientology, if they could be taken out, or if their influence could be blunted, that's a positive thing. That helps them, you know, go through their day-to-day lives doing whatever it is they want to do, okay? And we see a lot of that in our movement, in our subculture. There are a lot of spears pointed at us right now. The folks that want to be able to do, you want to be able to indulge in whatever it is you want to indulge in, whatever you want, whatever you call yourself. You know, there are a lot of spears pointed at you right now saying that, no, you're not going to indulge in the things you want to indulge in, whether it's thought, whether it's activity, whatever it is you want to do, religion, whatever it is. There are a lot of folks out there right now who would like to stop you from doing whatever you want to do. If we could stand together, if groups of us could collaborate, come together, and kind of blunt the tips of those spears, that would be a helpful thing, whether you made any money at it or not. Now, I'm all for profit motive and everything, but it's not the, you know, the be-all of whatever it is I've got going on. Now, the downside of Anon is that I'm not sure because I'm not really that deeply involved in the organization, but they kind of seem to act in spurts. They kind of seem to,
right.
They get an idea, they get something they want to grab into, they sink their teeth into it for a little bit, and then they let it go. Okay? So there's no continuous direction, there's no continuous agenda. Now, collaborations in our subculture may kind of float together and float apart and everything else, but they're also, I imagine, down the road will be some very long-term organizations where people
together. Yeah, well, just to amend really quick, Anon is not a political organization, it's just a thing that happened on the internet. So, I mean, there's no real drive to get towards an end result.
Right on. If Anon were to go ahead and say, these are the values we support, okay, or if an organization were to come together and go, we support X values, whatever these values are, and this is something I think we're going to be talking about down the road on the U's, is, you know, we're talking about tonight about the different personalities and in our subculture and everything else, but an episode or two, and I'm not sure when this is scheduled or whatever, Lexi's on here, she'll handle it. I have a secretary. We'll be talking about agenda. What is it that we would, you know, what types of things would be worth collaborating on? And you know, that's for another show topic, another discussion. Let me throw another name out here. Druidian Pendragon. You guys familiar with this guy?
Can I puke in my mouth now?
So, Druidian Pendragon, all right, he's a leader of the, the high priest of the, Brotherhood of Satan, okay? this organization out of Georgia and everything else. Now, what this guy's got going for him, okay, because like I said, we want to do positive and negative, pros and cons. What this guy's got going for him is he has managed, or they have managed to organize. They have managed to get a group of people to get together. You know, we talk about in the Satanic International Network, or, Cult of Cthulhu talked about this, where they wanted to get together every year and do something. Well, these guys, the Brotherhood of Satan, are doing just that, okay? These guys are coming together on a regular basis in numbers, dozens of people coming together. They're hanging out, they're interacting with one another, they recognize each other as brothers and sisters.
Performing rituals, too.
Right, performing rituals, having discussions, having classes. So there is something going on there. There's a positive thing. The negative thing is, is that they kind of push themselves as more than what they are. And there are other people that do the same thing. That they seem to have this need to be validated as, with the Brotherhood of Satan for a long time, is that they were this ancient organization, or the modern expression of some ancient organization. That had ties going back into antiquity, that had powerful members and everything else. When you look at these videos, I mean, these are just guys with a digital camera shooting YouTube videos. When their leader stands there in a Judas Priest T-shirt and gives a speech or whatever, if you've been around for antiquity, well, I expect to see an office and a business suit every once in a while. Okay, so there's certain there's certain symbols that are used, certain just markers that are used to express the idea that, hey, when we say that we've been around forever, we're serious about that. We really mean it. Here's, here's just some symbolism that supports that. And again, it's a matter of, and they're also very numbers driven. That's the other thing that's kind of a negative. I would rather see five very dedicated people come together, focus on an agenda, and make shit happen than have 5,000 people who are just sitting around talking about what might be, if they're even talking at all, if they're participating in even at that level. And you see a lot of that going on in our subculture.
A lot of it.
Right. So, like I said, I can see, even with somebody with Druidian Pendragon, I can come up with a positive spin on the guy, So, do you want to bring something up, TC?
What was that, man? I'm sorry.
Did you want to bring something up?
No. We'll keep with this list right now, man.
Well,
really
quickly, regarding Druidian and what he's doing and cultivating people and see, that's another thing. I agree with you, Sorrel, is that it's, he's putting quantity over quality, and I would much rather have quality over quantity in the sense that also, if you look at that, you get a group mind. That's another thing you got to be. I mean, that's obviously one thing that we all know to be careful of. If you get a group mind like that, you're no different than, this opposition or whatever. You're just wearing different clothes.
Right. If you sit there, if you got one person saying, and what happens is you got one person who will start going, "So what do you guys want to do?" And the group responds with, "Well, whatever you want to do."
Exactly.
Nothing happens. So speaking of cultivating people, see, and that's the thing with the Brotherhood of Satan. I don't see them as necessarily cultivating people, because I know where you were coming from with that word. But when I would like to see a group, if you're involved in an organization, you should be cultivated. If you're involved in some sort of collaborative effort, you should grow from the experience. There should be some sort of self-development inherent in whatever it is you're doing. So that brings me to another name. Have some trepidation even bringing up this person's name. Derek Bischoff, Venger Athanas Satanis. Okay. Derek, and I bring him up because Derek is in the business, at least on paper, of cultivating people. Okay. Of developing people. That tends to be what he talks about is his goal. All right. And I think that's a worthy goal. I think if you're going to be working with other people and everything else, you kind of want to help everybody grow and develop. His organization does have a little bit of the putting the cart before the horse and working on getting numbers. But his strategy is that if he has the numbers there and is exposing more and more people to whatever it is he's pushing, that will help cultivate them. That will help them grow and self-develop. They'll always be exposed to that, and hopefully some of them will jump on board. The problem with Derek, dude, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, we're still here. Yeah.
Okay. 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 Actually, everything was silent. I was like, real quiet. I guess because I brought up Derek. So, anyways, the problem with Derek with Vendrios No Satanis is again, it's a matter of hype, and he's hyped himself to the point where he's got this character he plays. Everybody that talks to Derek thinks Derek's a great guy. You know, when you talk to Derek one-on-one, Derek's a really, you know, really pretty much he's a decent guy. But when you're dealing with Vendrios No Satanis, the Messiah, the teacher, the master of the fourth way, and whatever else he bills himself as, rational people find that a little bit overblown. Even the members of his organization have a lot of, you know, it's you know, well, you just have to kind of accept that as part of the deal, is that, you know, well, you're working on self-development, you're working on the fourth way, you're working on, you know, whatever it is you're working on, and on top of that, you have to call, you know, Derek your Lord and Master. And what I think, you know, is missing there is the opportunity for there to be a collaboration between peers. There is no peer structure. I mean, stratification is going to happen naturally. But if everybody has the opportunity to be in a peer group versus a hierarchy, I think that's to everyone's benefit.
I would agree with that entirely. I think another real downside, though, to the whole Cult of Cthulhu thing is the fact that they have no consistent philosophy, and I mean this in their teachings and as well in their engagement with ongoing proceedings. You know, there's no philosophy behind it. They're not out there working towards anything together. They're barely talking about what they're supposed to be working towards while they're in the group. You know, there's just not that philosophy of how you accomplish things. And I think that's one thing that even a peer group has to have, is a philosophy of how they're going to proceed through whatever goals they're trying to attain at the time.
And that's what happens when you have an agenda, or you think you have an agenda, but your focus isn't on the agenda. Your focus isn't on accomplishing whatever your goals are. Your focus is on generating numbers. Because eventually what you have is you have people who are attracted to the name, who are attracted to the entertainment of the evening or whatever, who have no interest. You haven't even read whatever it is you're trying to do. They're just there because if they think it's cool, they want to be validated for being present.
Right.
And I think there's a fundamental difference between the Cult of Cthulhu and the Brotherhood of Satan. They both, it's very interesting because they both kind of, in my opinion, there are certain areas in which they fail in different ways. But one is, like, let's say the Brotherhood of Satan, for example, they focus too much on numbers. And the other, the Cult of Cthulhu, they want numbers, but, you know, Derek focuses too much on himself. So,
right.
I mean, there's really, the thing missing out of both of these is a cause in which you put the self aside for something greater for all to benefit. I mean, you're not exactly putting yourself aside. You're doing it for yourself, but you're also, you know, saying, okay, you know, for the better good, I'm going to let my ego just, you know, step down for a little bit and, you know, focus on what needs to be done.
Matt, if I could just chime in real quick here and then we'll go on. I don't think it's necessary to give up any sense of self at all to cooperate with people. It just becomes a matter of developing a professional attitude. Right.
Okay. But if you want to couch in those terms, that sounds a lot better. But yeah. Okay. But it was difficult for me to get that out. It's like, how do I say, you know, giving up of self without saying, you know, well, it's for the self, but you're kind of, you know, okay, being professional, yes, and towards something bigger.
Right. Well, the idea behind professionalism is that you keep a certain set of behavioral ethics in an effort to promote yourself through whatever you're doing. So, anyway, let's move on with the next one. We're running out of time. So,
okay. Well, and just really quick to hit back on the COC and the Brotherhood of Satan or whatever. They're both paper tigers also as far as an organization is concerned. They were both so focused on having a structure. The Brotherhood of Satan has dogma and a fabricated tradition and everything else. Everybody follows a certain format, a certain procedure, kowtows to a certain hierarchy. On the other side, and it's like I said, it's empty. On the Cult of Cthulhu, there's a core group there that actually is, interested in whatever, Derek's original ideas were or whatever they are this week or what have you. And it's a kind of an agenda that shifts and everything else. It's one thing for an agenda to evolve. It's another thing for it to change frequently. It's just sort of radically going one different direction or another. But then there are a lot of people that if just people that are in the group and serious about being in the group would step up and go, hey, man, let's not talk about whatever it is you're talking about. I mean, it's all fine and good to have fun and everything else, but have you looked at these other things that we're doing here? And that just doesn't happen. So having a group of people that are serious about the agenda is something that would also be necessary to any collaborative effort. So you want to make sure that everybody there is just as invested in it as you are. So you want to be selfish. You want to make sure that you're getting whatever it is you expect to get out of it. But then in that sense of self, it's recognizing also that you're part of that group because you know that you're, as an individual, limited in what it is you can accomplish. So let me throw another name out here. Let's see. Venus Satanis.
Ha-ha. All right.
Okay. Now, I'm not as familiar with Venus Satanis as maybe you guys are. From what I see, she's a self-promoter. She's out there. She's got different ideas. She wants to be involved in a discourse. The negative thing I see there, though, is she comes to the table. She comes to the discussion with a preset, a predefined opinion on everything. And if you're not Venus Satanis, you're not going to convince Venus Satanis that her opinion might be wrong or might be a little skewed. Okay, and that's my reading of Venus Satanis, that she wants to be validated for her ideas, but she's not open to the ideas of a lot of other people. It takes a lot to get Venus Satanis to listen to what you might have to say.
Right. I've talked to Venus, in her chat for hours on end at times, and I don't necessarily think that she doesn't want to hear other people's opinions. What I think it is she's just so passionate and at the same time limited in her ability to communicate that she comes across as being insensitive as she's trying to make her point because, it's obvious that she has difficulty doing so. You understand what I'm saying? I think that it's a misperception with her, but it's still all the same. Not being able to communicate effectively is not going to do you any justice if you're trying to, actually do something.
Okay, and for full disclosure here, my observation of Venus Satanis is very secondhand. I've never had an actual conversation with her directly other than on a couple of small occasions. Very limited to something that I was, that I was doing or whatever. I think she was reselling some of my books on eBay at some point, and I was, I just had a question about that or whatever, but that was it. I could definitely see that. If what it is that she just has trouble communicating with other people, I can understand that. To a point.
That is not the whole problem. That's just the biggest part of the problem, if that makes sense.
Right. So if that's the case, then what I would think, though, is that she also doesn't necessarily see it or doesn't acknowledge that she has some trouble communicating. And when she enters into a conversation, it does seem like she expects to be she expects her ideas to be respected and understood, even if she's not being clear.
Yes, absolutely. I would agree with that entirely.
Plus, she did that cool stripper pole dance thing with that old dude, that creepy old dude on the couch. That was awesome. So.
Right on.
Your troll is in the on the switchboard. Do you want to deal with them or just keep moving on?
Yeah, bring them on. Fuck it. Let's get the troll on.
Okay. Area code 111, you're on the Ooze. What's on your brain, man?
111? Come on, fucker.
Yoo-hoo!
Oh, man.
Oh, you know what? He doesn't want to talk because I'm on tonight.
No,
maybe that's what's going on.
It could be it. I mean, usually he plays like some kind of audio clip for us off of his pathetic laptop speakers, and we kind of almost hear what it is. So,
all right, well, I'm hanging up on him then.
Go ahead, man. We acknowledge Troll for the night. We gave him his biscuit, so now he can go back under the fucking bridge, and we'll move on.
All right, so let's see here. Stan LeVay.
Oh, man.
Talk about Stan.
Dude.
Where's that going to go?
This is again, I've had no personal interaction with Stan, so this is all based on just my observation. First of all, one of the things about Stan LeVay, like Boyd Rice, Stanton seems very interested in what Stanton does. You know, Stanton, I think he once said that he's not a Satanist, he's a Stantonist. Okay, I have a lot of.
I think the cops are also interested in what Stanton does too. Am I right?
Now that's the negative side. Okay, and that's the thing that if you're going to collaborate with other individuals, you want to make sure that they have their private affairs, their individual affairs. In order, at least up to a point where you don't have to worry about some sort of legal entanglements, that you don't have to worry about them being homeless, that there are a lot of people out there who they're living in their mom's basement. They don't have a job. They have no real-world experience. They've got nothing going on for themselves, and they want to come on and be some keyboard cowboy on the Satanic International Network and spew all the blackness and darkness of Satan that they think they can spew, and there's nothing behind it. So Stan's a perfect example of somebody who is very much a self-promoter, very much an individualist, not very good at the whole building up that foundation, having that basic part of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs handled. So in my opinion, if you're going to be collaborating with other people, before you do collaborate, before you even step out there and go, before you step out there and say you're a Satanist, you need to have your shit together. You know, you need to be able to, you know, sustain yourself.
Can I throw another name in the hat? Zandora LeVay.
Right on. Zandora LeVay?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Zandora LeVay, so you'll have to carry that one. URTC.
All right. Well, Zandora LeVay, talk about collaboration, you know, she collaborates with the Swank Bastards, you know. She helps promote their name. They help promote her, you know, and she does her hula-hooping thing. She does her, she comes on and discusses her views on satanic witchery. As far as a con goes, as far as a negative, sheesh, I don't know. I'm going to be reaching at this one, and feel free to disagree and chime in, but I don't know. Not political enough?
She really doesn't have a... Go ahead.
Go ahead, dude. Go ahead. I don't have an opinion. Go ahead.
I was going to say, she really doesn't have a downside, man. She's doing absolutely everything that we're talking about trying to do here.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, I'm grasping at straws on that one, man.
But let me go back to Stanton because Matt being on here has added an extra voice for me to kind of try to dodge around, so I didn't get in quick enough before we moved on to Zandora. I've had a little bit of experience with Stanton back when you and I were in the United Order of Cerberus. You remember I was doing that set of interviews on different personalities back then?
Right on.
Stanton was one of the people on my list to interview, and I had several exchanges with him back and forth, and he was like, yeah, you know, I'm getting married, but after I get married, I'll do this interview. So I get back in touch with him after the interview about 6 months after the wedding, because he never contacted me back and said, hey, can I still do this interview? Well, he never sent an email back or anything. the same kind of thing went down when Zach began, before Xandor LaVey reappeared and everything, when Zach began trying to look into getting Stanton onto this show, he wouldn't acknowledge any of Zach's emails. And then finally, we decided, you know, screw Stanton. He doesn't even really have anything philosophically to offer. You know, he's just promoting himself and whatever. He sends back an email, and basically he wanted to be able to pick when we interviewed him. He wanted to have a script written up ahead of time. He wanted to edit the script in terms of what questions could be asked to him. And it was pretty much dictating I think it was something like he didn't want the show to be any longer than a half hour. I don't remember what all of it was, but all of a sudden he came back with this big list of demands at us. I don't have a problem scheduling a special show for somebody, but when you don't even give me the courtesy of saying, yes, I'd be very interested to do that, and then keep some kind of dialogue going, discussing what things you feel more comfortable with or whatever, that pretty much indicates to me that you hold no respect for me. You're just looking at it as a quickie, if you know what I'm saying. You give a little fucking right here on the air, and everybody knows a little more about you because of it. So,
can I say one more thing in regards to Stanton LaVey?
Go for it.
Merit, not inherit. Remember
right.
It.
Right, right. I agree. That, and again, it's a lot of, and we see a lot of this, that your lineage, your history or whatever, you expect that to carry the day and not so much, you know, what it is you're doing at the moment. If you're not accomplishing anything, if you're not doing anything, then there's not, you don't have a lot of value as far as, you know, whoever you're working with, whoever you're dealing with, if you're dealing with anybody. So this show, I don't know, man, this is kind of, we're down to the last 2 minutes. We got a caller on the line. Let me go ahead and bring the caller on, and then I'll tell you what I just did, if you don't see it on the switchboard already. Let's see here, 858 area code, you're on the use. What's on your brain, man?
Hey guys, Zach here on the line. What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey man, what's up?
Hey man, no, I chimed in at the last minute, and we were talking about Stanton. What B said is pretty much accurate. Stanton, I approached Stanton a couple months ago, at least a couple months ago, if not longer, and homie was like, yeah, that's cool, yeah, you know, yeah, I'll get back to you, and he never did, and then I met up with Xandor in Hollywood, talked to Xandora, you know, met Larry Wessel, Xandora, whatever. And I just kind of forgot about Stanton, but Stanton contacted me a couple weeks ago and was like, "Hey, I want to, you know, play ball. I want to be, you know, let's do this interview." But, and here was the stipulations: he was like, "Okay, it's got to be not only a closed show, not only pre-recorded, which is cool. You know, we could do this, but closed show, pre-recorded. But he wanted to." Have the final edit, so he wanted to send the archive to him, and then him edit and dice it to how he wants it to make a Stanton LaVey commercial. You know, and I checked with Beast and a couple other people, and everybody was like, basically, like, you know what? Fuck that. That's not how it's gonna go down. That's not how we roll. And I messaged Stanton back, and he was like, I can't quote him directly, but he said something to the effect of, well, I didn't ask for a fucking plane ticket and a goddamn stay at the Hotel 6 or whatever, something to that effect. You know, and he was like, what the fuck? Okay, I'll do a live show. That's fine. So he wants to play ball, but at the same time, it's like he's fickle. He's fickle and he's kind of flaky. So, you know, we'll see how that rolls. But as to this point, I'm not thinking we're going to do a Stanton LaVey show.
Right on, man.
Okay. Three things real quick. First of all four hosts of the Ooze are on the show right now. So the red letter moment for those listeners right now. We're all on the Ooze right now. So if you wanted to call in and give us if you wanted to call in and give a shit, right now would be the time to do it, although you'd be dealing with all four of them at the same time, so that might be a bad idea. Two, I tacked another hour onto the show because this conversation seems to be going so well. We might not go a full hour or whatever, but I don't know if you guys are getting tired of listening to this shit in the chat room, let us know and we'll hang it up or whatever, but we'll keep this going otherwise.
Right.
Three, the thing with Stanton LaVey, or basically, I've been doing some research into this kind of thing and everything else. You see a lot of people, especially if they are public personalities, who if they're going to do an interview, they want some control of the interview agenda. They want to make sure that the questions are along these lines and you don't ask about these things. That's pretty common. That's pretty fair. But for LaVey there to want to be able to edit the show completely, and then you run it, that's bullshit, one. And then for him to turn around and go, okay, I'd be willing to do a live show, that tells you where he's at. He's got so little going on right now that, anybody that's going to take an interest in it, when you approached him initially and said, hey, we want to do this thing, his response endangered him having an opportunity to get out there and say something about himself. So now that's what he's trying to correct. Personally, I could care less if we ever hear from Stan LaVey, based on, what I've seen of his personal life and everything else. He's just not. He's not what he builds himself to be.
Well,
no,
Jason, in response to that, I'll tell you this, man. When I approached Stanton, I approached him before I met Zandor, and when I went to Hollywood, a special trip to meet Zandor, because she was hanging out there with Larry Wessel, who's the obviously the producer director of the Iconoclast from for Boyd Rice. It was before I met Zandora, and honestly, based on some of the things that were said and whatnot, I just didn't, I kind of lost interest in Stanton, but Stanton reapproached me again, 2-3 months in hindsight after the fact, and
The other portion of that, I wonder how much of that had to do with the fact that we on the Ooze had interviewed Zandora LaVey.
Yeah, Matt, it's hard to say, man. You and I met Zandora here in Diego at the Kensington at the club. I don't really know, man. But there's some bad blood. But who gives a fuck? I'm interested in promoting Satanism. I'm not interested in drama.
Right. Right.
That's what I'm going for. But at the same time, Stanton has been flaky. He's willing to play ball now, and he's actually come back and said, okay, I'll do a live show on your terms, not my terms. And
right, well,
kind of stalling. So it's kind of up to you guys, man, what you guys want to do.
Well, Stanton obviously needs the publicity more than the people that would be willing to give it to him need Stanton LaVey. So, like I said, I could care less. There was a comment in the chat room I wanted to bring up real quick before I forget about it. Lauren Cooper points out the biggest problem with satanic or Luciferian organizations formed for any purpose is the same problem that plague any organization of any kind. Politics, after the time to develop leadership, will become involved in a power struggle and equal clashes. The true Luciferian has no need for groups. Well, that's all fine and good until the true Luciferian wants to, build a house. Or the true Luciferian wants to participate in the economy and sell something. The true Luciferian is going to run into situations where it's necessary to collaborate with other people. We're not talking about tonight forming an organization, forming structures or anything like that. We're talking about collaboration. There's a lot of echoing in our subculture, again, of the need to collaborate and work with other people, that we need to kind of talk about, what that would look like is what we're talking about tonight. So not necessarily forming a structure, forming an organization, but I would challenge you to show me the Luciferian who is totally self-reliant. There's not a one.
No,
even Michael W. Ford, one of the forerunners of Luciferianism. I mean, he has publishers, and he has, a lot of other people working under him.
Right. He has working, not just working under him, but working with him, working above him. I mean, he's got his own organization. When he goes out and puts on a show, he has to work with those stage people. He has to work with the people that have the venue. He has to work with all those people. And Michael W. Ford is not a big enough name in what he does yet to call the shots. So it's a lot of collaboration. It's a lot of compromise. So as big of a Luciferian as Michael W. Ford might be, he's not totally self-reliant.
Right on. Right on.
And you know what? And what is the other thing? Also, self-reliance may not be the ideal, and I think that's kind of the thing that we're pushing. You want to be as self-reliant as possible. It's a relative term. You want to be you have your shit together as much as possible, but there comes a point where it just makes sense to interact with other people, if only so that you can accomplish more than what you would on your own.
Wow.
So, do you want to bring up another name? Do we want to throw another one out there? You know what?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, and if you're in the chat room right now and you got somebody that, you know, if you got a name, you got somebody that's a personality in our subculture and you want us to kind of discuss what we, you know, what we feel, our feelings on that person or, you know, what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, throw it out there. We'll take a look. Let's talk about, let's see. I want to talk about Freighter Nicked. Does anybody know, you guys know who Freighter Nicked is?
I think so. He goes by another name sometimes, doesn't he?
He might. I have no idea what his
other
name would be.
I've for sure come across him, but I, for the life of me, I can't remember where.
I put him on the list because I wanted a little dude. I wanted a guy who just kind of seems to be getting started, getting things going. He puts out Chaos Sphere Magazine. He put out his first issue a couple months ago. I think he interviewed Derek Dishaw in his next issue that's supposed to come out. It was supposed to come out in April, but it looks like it won't come out till May. He may have actually interviewed Michael Ford in the first issue as well. But then he's Church Rex. He interviewed that guy, and I wrote a piece for that magazine. What you got going on? This is a guy who he seems well connected because he's involved with a lot of different people and everything else. The problem there, he's got this. You know, he's ambitious. He's going for this magazine thing. I tried doing the magazine thing once, and it just didn't work out very well. Trying to get people to write shit for you, trying to get those people to consistently be involved and engaged. It's hard work, man. It's like herding kittens. Okay, so he's pressing forward, and I like his first issue. Was really sharp, I thought. But the second issue now was put off for 30 days. Okay. The problem with these small efforts is that again, it is that he hasn't found the right group of people to collaborate with. Otherwise, I think the magazine would have been out on time. Now there may be other things going on there, but it exemplifies the point I'm trying to make using him as an example. He is, you know, doing his thing. He's got his agenda. He's out there, you know, trying to work with other people. The problem is that he hasn't made sure that the people he's working with are just as passionate, just as dedicated as he is to whatever his agenda is. Thus, there's a 30-day delay on the magazine.
Right. I agree with that. Anything else on this guy?
No, that's really it. I just wanted to use him as an example of, you know, that kind of thing.
I have a name that came up on my list. So actually, it's a name with an implication towards a group itself, because I'm not really sure that there's a connection between the two other than what they proposed. David Myatt. But more specifically, the 352 WSA people that I'm thinking of.
Quarter of nine angles thing?
Yeah, the ONA thing, yeah. Yeah.
Right on.
The things that I think that they do right is they're very, very good at implanting mimetic notions. They understand how to really get somebody to stick with a concept. They understand how to brand that idea into your brain, and it's done in such a way that it's clever and almost noticeable unless you understand, the structure of language and how it works in our memory. So the downside to them is that they seem to push a lot of hatred-based political political, I don't even know what you want to call it.
Yeah, there's a political undertone, you know, it's implied. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
and then you can even physically see it if you look at the Sinister Tarot. I mean, you see somebody wearing like an SS uniform.
Right.
But, you know, it's one thing to have a political undertone or a political agenda. Even if we don't agree what that agenda is, that's something. Okay, at least there's a structure there. At least there's a plan. My issue with the ONA and David Myatt and everything else is so much need for secrecy. Now, this is the thing, though. So much need for secrecy, but we all know they're trying to be a secret organization. We all know they're trying to subtly influence everything. Why do we all know that if they're a secret organization? Why do we all know what it is they're trying to do? It's because they're billing themselves as sinister and dark and everything else. And that's where I have to call bullshit. When you sit there and say that they're good at implanting different memes and whatever, they've on some sites, I've actually seen them claim that the term meme originated with the ONA, okay? I don't think that is at all true. They're very good at billing themselves as being some sort of, you know, subtle psychic, you know, subtle, you know, they use psychology to influence everything else. I don't see it. The people I've dealt with the ONA have been very, you know, blunt mentally. They didn't have the subtlety, the tact that I would expect from this particular organization.
Has to do with leading by example, kind of saying that you're secret, but kind of not being secret at the same time. Is kind of saying, hey, this is implying the way that this, you know, things of this operation should be done. So, I mean, they're kind of like putting it out there for other people. Like, they're making themselves public so that other people can make themselves private.
Is it that, or is it more like with the Brotherhood of Satan and that they're part of this ancient order thing? The ONA is part of this, you know, very top secret, you know, politically, influencing, socially influencing organization. I think it's more they want to build themselves as that. They want to market themselves as that, and they want you to believe it rather than there being any truth to it.
Hmm.
I could be wrong, but you know, it's just a different kind of billing, in my opinion. It's just a different kind of branding. It's one of those things where, you know what, if you were really that influential, if you really were that secretive, I shouldn't know shit about you, but you should be changing the way I think.
Right on. So that was my one to throw out there. I'm thinking Michael Aquino and the Temple of Set.
I wanted to bring up Michael Aquino. And again, it's one of those things where Michael Aquino, you know, he was one of the original, you know, people in the Church of Satan or whatever. I don't think he's ridden that hierarchy trip that pedigree trip as much as John Ali.
He stepped down at one point.
Right. Where I find with the Temple of Set that it's gotten too, there's just too many things going on there. There's too many directions. And that's kind of what their organization, that was part of the intention, but now it's gotten to a point where it's almost ridiculous.
It's too spread out, and there's no real funnel for a direction. I brought up goals before, but there's no really clear destination in sight.
Right, right. And it's in a lot of ways, they also start working across purposes when they become that diverse.
A conflict of interest in a sense.
Right, right. So there's no centralization. And it's not necessarily, and this is an organization we're talking about. When we're talking about, and this is, as an example, when we're talking about individuals collaborating, if every individual, if you're working with a group of individuals, but you all have different goals, and you're just together under one umbrella, that may work or that may not work. In my opinion, a centralized agenda, a central focus, definitely is necessary in a collaborative effort. Maybe get larger like the Temple of Set, it's worth doing.
Now, guys, if we could kind of go off on a little side topic, it's not too sidetracked, but it goes along with what we're talking about. I want to know, at least from your guys' perspective, I mean, like, is there anything that you would like to add in concerns of, you know, you were at one point members of the Cthulhu cult, and there was a difference in the direction that you wanted things to go on. Could you talk a little bit about that?
As far as the difference between the what Derek wanted to do with the Cult of Cthulhu, or what was doing with the Cult of Cthulhu, and what we wanted to do?
Correct. Correct. Now, you guys had, obviously there was a conflict of interest and there were differences in goals. And I was wondering if you guys could enlighten me a little bit on that.
I don't know, TC. I think a big part of it was we came on thinking that the organization needed a greater structure or a more defined structure that, you know, gave a clear path for development that wasn't there, and that we were kind of brought on to help bring that about. And then the whole, that there was going to be more participation in the administration of that structure of the organization. There was going to be more focused on the actual founding principles and not just every little thing that had to do with Cthulhu. And when it started to get hokey for us is when, you know, Derek really started to push the whole Lord and Master thing. That's when we kind of said, well, there needs to be a place for those of us who don't believe in, we don't agree with the idea of having beliefs, we'd rather have convictions. We don't believe in, we don't agree with the idea of a dogmatic worship or respect for somebody. We think respect should be earned. There should be a merit system involved. That's kind of where we kind of said, you know what, we need a place for that. And the Cult of Cthulhu would have been, in my opinion, an ideal place for that kind of project. But it was a little too intimidating for its founder to handle, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right, Matt. I mean, to be really honest, the horse is blue, you know what I mean? It comes down to this. We really wanted to do something progressive, and we hope to inspire thought in people and inspire people to work on themselves and improve themselves and build themselves up and really get somewhere in terms of mileage in this life. And what we found instead was that the only place that it was going was to the knee and kissing Derek's ass. And that's really, that's the long and short of it, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, it helps illustrate, I think that kind of conflict helps illustrate some of the downfalls. Like, you mentioned somebody, I believe it was Frater Nish, of choosing carefully who to work with. Otherwise, you know, stagnation can be made.
Right. I just want to point out really quick that right now it looks like the chat room has been flooded with trolls. I'm trying to figure out if I should boot them out or if everybody in the chat room is enjoying them. So
there only seems to be a few of them. What I think is funny is that they don't call in. The phone number is 347-989-1371. Again, they're just, you know, in mommy's basement hanging out on their keyboard, and the risk of actually interacting with people is just a little scary for them, so they do it through these internet forums. Anyways, while we're waiting on all that to go down, yeah, if you guys are tired of the trolls in the chat room, TC will go through and boot them out. So just say the word in the chat room there, and we'll make it happen. Anyways, let's see here. I'm gonna throw on. I don't think we talked about Tom Blackwood yet.
Oh God, do we have to?
Well, and again, this is the effort here is to give examples of people who are out there doing whatever it is they do, and, you know, talking about the pros of what they're doing and the cons of what they're doing. Blackwood has, you know, I've actually had a conversation with Tom Blackwood, I think, over the phone. This is years ago. His concerns, he voiced a lot of the current concerns that we've kind of voiced in our discussions that we've talked about a little bigger tonight, that there are definite elements in our society, in our culture, in our government, and everything else that are working against the idea of being an individual, being able to do what you want to do, indulging the things you enjoy doing. And he wanted to see some sort of, you know, effort to blunt those things, some sort of collaboration between people. Tom has taken the whole pedigree thing to an extreme. I don't know how, if he was a member of the Church of Satan or what his situation was, or if not, I guess on different occasions he's billed himself as the new black pope, the king of Satanism, in North America. I don't know what his deal is, but a lot of that goes on with Blackwood. So he has kind of an agenda, or at least he bills himself as having a kind of agenda that I could kind of agree with to an extent. But then the whole, you know, again, the whole but it's worship me or it's not going to happen thing, that's what puts me off of Blackwood.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead,
no,
guys.
I was going to say I agree with him. Go ahead, Matt.
I got one name that I'd like to throw in there.
Okay.
You ready?
Uh-huh.
Jason King.
Jason King.
Oh, man.
Now, wait. Before we go any further, I got to state on the air, I got nothing but the utmost respect for Jason King. That being said, Jason King, you want to take this, Jason? Or?
Well, I like Jason King, okay? I like what he has to say. I like the way he handles himself. I like the way he conducts himself on the Internet to a point, okay? And that point is when it becomes less about getting the message out, making, you know, having that discourse, and more about what would he call it? What does he call it when he
taking lunch money?
Taking lunch money.
When he comes
crushing haters.
When it becomes more about crushing haters or taking people's lunch money than actually having a discourse, having a discussion, getting his point out, and even in a way that he's not benefiting. Learning something. I know he said if somebody's right, he's right. Jason King will acknowledge that. I believe that's the case. But he's loath to do it. You know, he's not in a hurry to go, okay, you win. He will
right.
do it. Right, but he'll take his time about making it happen. So I think we're all fans here of Jason King.
Yes.
So if Jason's of the show, know that, man. Mad props, Jason. But we all know also it's part of his thing. It's part of his deal. His Internet persona is, you know, that he's the smartest man in the room, that he's down, man. He's got his banner down,
well,
and he's going to win the debate.
He's the king.
Right. So when something happens that kind of counters that, he gets a little fouled up sometimes. And you can't let yourself get that way. You can't let yourself get that way if you're going to be, you know, engaging other people and involved in a larger discourse towards a certain agenda or even self-development. You have to be willing to be wrong. Bottom line.
Yeah, I agree with that. Wholeheartedly.
Oh, man.
You know, the one thing I think that Jason sometimes does is he anticipates things, and he just anticipates them going the wrong way. So in his mind, he starts to see himself building a win, meaning that he's going to make some point that everybody's going to stop and go, oh, that's what he meant. But in the process, the conversation's actually going in a different direction. So when he gets to that point, everybody's kind of looking at over at him going, what the hell are you talking about, dude? The conversation's over here. And that's what I see happen with Jason on the forums.
Okay.
Right on.
Hey, you know what? I'm feeling ballsy tonight, gentlemen. I'm feeling ballsy.
Beast Zeno.
Oh, shit, I can tell you everything I'm doing wrong.
Right. And we kind of did each other, or we did our thing as a group. But yeah, okay. Do you, TC, do you want to give your own critique?
My own critique? I think for myself, I don't put enough stock in the idea of pushing myself forward to make these things kind of happen. I mean, I'm always in kind of a forward momentum, but sometimes I forget that people want to kind of see that cock strut at the end, and I don't do it. I don't know. I mean, I'm unorganized.
You know what? Yeah. Okay. That's one con that I would say is you do tend to short sell yourself a little bit, but we wouldn't be here if it weren't for BC, putting this stuff together, the ooze. So, I mean, pros and cons, buddy.
Right on. I think the other thing is I'm highly unorganized. I'm very scatterbrained. I always have been, which is kind of actually weird because when it comes to my job, I have almost a perfect system, so everything's in exact order. But in my own personal life or my adventures, for some reason, I take on a lot of projects, and what I end up doing is selling myself short in terms of ability to really produce on any one of those projects without adding an extra dozen gray hairs on the top of my head. So, but I'd be interested to hear what you guys have to say. I really would.
I think the things you're good at, are really good at, are you have a desire to bring people together. You have a desire to get a discourse going, and you want to see something happen. You're like a scientist with a chemistry set, man. When it comes to dealing with different people, you like putting different people together and seeing what goes down. And I think you're hoping for certain results. You're hoping to see something actually go in a particular direction. As far as cons are concerned, maybe having maybe a little too much faith in those you're dealing with. It's that when you get involved with certain people and everything else, when they kind of let you down, when they don't necessarily follow through the way you were hoping,
but expectation.
Right. And how do you compensate for that? I would rather you do that and be disappointed than you not do what you're doing just to be safe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well I kind of look at it like this. I look at it as I hold myself to a standard all the time, and I should be able to hold other people to a standard, not to my measure, but to a standard that I think they're capable of achieving. So, I could definitely see that as being an issue. But on the other hand, again, it's better than not counting on people at all.
Right on.
I don't know. Other than that, maybe I talk too much.
Yeah, right. Yes, you just filled up this entire show, man. I barely got a word in edgewise.
Right on.
Right.
Right on. So, I mean, I really don't know. I know Matt, since we're calling people out, I'll
all right.
I think your one downfall is that you can't decide whether you're a cheerleader or a game player. I think that's your one downfall. But as of lately, I've seen that changing. So I don't want to say that that's like a terrible thing. Before you started onto this book, it was like, you kind of got excited about this notion of satanic unity under the umbrella of Cult of Cthulhu, and then as a result of your level of excitement in it, when everybody shot that idea down, which you already knew was going to happen going into
it. Well, actually, Actually, the unity wasn't under the Cult of Cthulhu. The unity was under just something. I brought it up as a response, you know, just clearing the record. I brought it up as a response to Jason King's State of the Union video. And, you know, I brought up an opposing argument and thinking, like, well, maybe there needs to be a need for organization and all that stuff. And, yeah, it had very little to do with the Cult of Cthulhu, because I kind of saw what was happening with the Call of Cthulhu. I was on the fence with that at the time because I was like, you know, I saw the cult of personality, and I kind of saw things. And I'm very hesitant. Before I sign on to something, I'm very hesitant. I check it out clearly before I sign on and become a quote-unquote follower.
Right. Well, the whole real point here was just that when things didn't work out the way that you expected, you kind of were disheartened for a short bit. I think that it's just the fact that you're so passionate can sometimes become a shortcoming. It's a,
right.
also your best feature, though, so don't change that. Just
you're right. No, I see what you mean. In fact, at one point, you know, it's also like it's similar. It's maybe a little bit more so than yours is when I put expectations on things. It's like I either don't put expectations on them or I put them on, like, heavily. You know, there's really no in-between with me.
Right, and I think that's changing. As you've been working on this book and really focusing on putting something out yourself, I think your perspective's just shifting. I think that's what naturally kind of happens.
It comes with the process of manifesting and keeping yourself busy and inside of something else. You know what I mean? Instead of focusing on others' work, you're focusing in on your own. So the natural tendency of the energy, if you want to put it in those terms, is to shift.
Right on. So that's my opinion there. Jason, do you have one?
He needs a new jester's hat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's getting a little ratty, huh?
Get a little ratty.
Yeah. This is true, dude. I've had that hat since 1997. I was wearing this motherfucker in high school. You're damn right. I need a new hat. But I love the design, dude. I've never seen any other jester hat like open up like it does. Do that cool little flip thing in the front. It's like, dude, that's my staple.
Right on. Right on. The only other thing I can think of is that, and it's just, you're taking your time getting out there, I think.
Yeah.
That could be good or bad. I think it would be, you know, I'd like to see more of, you know, what's going on with Dark Fool. I think you should have your own website. I think you should have, you know, you've got ideas, you've got different opinions and everything else. I think if it were just, you know, a sentence or two a day on a blog or something, that'd be worth checking out.
Right, and we've discussed that earlier, and you're absolutely right. I'm going to get that going.
Just putting yourself out there a little bit more.
Oh, if I can real quick just comment. Matt, if you decide you're going to go shopping for a new hat after this, ooze green and black, please.
Green, ooze green and black, huh?
Yeah. Or ooze green and purple, whatever, but, you know, ooze green, definitely. Got to have that in there.
Okay. You know what? That's something that's doable. You know, I might wear it just for the show, although nobody can see me, but who knows? We'll see.
We'll call it your thinking cap.
Okay.
All right. Jason.
Yeah?
I'm going to hit you, man. You are probably the best example I've ever seen of somebody who's able to promote themselves. You understand, you know, the whole business of public relations. You know, you're sharp, you're concise, you are planned, you're methodical, and that there also lies where your fault happens. Your level of method that you attach to things, I think, slows you down. And you don't maybe get as much done as you want to because you're so busy getting it perfect. That's what I see. And I know The end result of that is that you don't get to put enough face time up to really reap the full benefit of your networking. So, just food for thought, man. You need to shorten the articles. You need to express your thoughts in fewer words. And spend more time actually building, like I have been trying to do, actually building a little more personable relationships with a broader spectrum of people, not just online, but in real life. So.
Right on. No, and I definitely could agree with that. Although it sounds like a job interview thing, you know, that what are my weaknesses? Oh well, I'm too much of a perfectionist. I do too much. I over. But I do agree, man. When I write something up, I tend to go on and on and on and on. So. If I could find a way to reduce and make my point a little more concise, that'd be worthwhile. But then again, it would make the shows a lot shorter too.
Yeah. Like I said, it has its benefit. That's why I started it off as being a positive, and then said within that has also held your downfall, because there's got to be some fair balance, you know.
Right on.
And that's really it. Otherwise, I mean, you are like what I would call the prototype or the archetype that everybody who is trying to do something should be following. So that's it, man. Matt, you got anything on Jason? Probably not. I mean, he's a tough cookie, and he does tend to butt hurt people pretty quickly. So.
Oh, let's see here. Oh, I'd say something, but I don't want to come off as a cheerleader. No, I'm just kidding. let's see here. You know, I think that you might have the same problem as TC, in the sense that you might wear yourself down a little thin. You know what I mean? With how meticulous you can get. You know, with how much you analyze. But... yeah, I haven't seen too much of that as of late, you know.
Yeah, see, the only thing about that there, Matt, and maybe you don't know this, but Jason is constantly throwing out the old. If it isn't working for him, he's quick to go, oh, wait a minute, this isn't working for me, and he crumbles it out, gets rid of it. He's always consolidating what he's doing. I don't know if you've known this, but this man has written probably 1,000 articles on a website called Herion.com or Helium.com or some shit.
No, I'm not aware of that.
You've got, what, at least half a dozen books on various subjects, right?
I've written a few books, and I've written maybe a dozen or 20 some articles on Helium, and it's a site for Helium, by the way, is a way you can make money if you're interested in writing articles and everything else, reviewing articles. But yeah, you basically it has a number of different topics that you write on, and the other thing that's kind of cool about Helium is you get rated by the different people that use that site, and like a few of my articles have been sitting at the number one position for whatever their categories were for a year or so now. But yeah, I write a lot, man. And that's kind of been my thing. My thing lately though, is that a lot of what I was doing was all on the internet and everything else. And I wanted to get away from that. So now it's out in the real world and, trying to also, not have so many tongs in the fire, you know, maybe actually focusing on, you know, just two or three things at a time and, making all that as beneficial as possible before I move on to something else. So that's been
actually, you know what, that's kind of, but you know what, that's an artistic temperament too. In a way, you're kind of scattered.
Yeah.
Well, he
yeah.
was,
yeah.
but he was, but it really has been a really good process of constantly, you know, getting rid of the old. I mean, I can remember back in say like 2005, Jason Sereau had to have been on literally 1,500 different e-groups or different websites, DeviantArt. Squidoo.
I can't
even keep up with all the projects that you've been involved in, and you've done them like everything else that you do, where you go in there and you do this massive effort, and then you maintain. So, you know, that I've seen you spread yourself really thin, but I don't think you're guilty of that in terms of right now, at least in terms of internet activity. I really think it has to do with the level of perfection that you're seeking.
Right. And with the internet thing too, with the paring down, it was just a matter of figuring out, you know, hey, this stuff isn't working. You know, so and that's something else that with a lot of things we were seeing a lot of crossover too. That even though I was involved in all these different groups, I was talking to the same, you know, 20 so people. Looks like we got a caller. Let me go bring him on the line. Let me try it again here. Hang on a second. Okay, 701 error code. You on the Ooze Outbreak? What's on your brain, man? 701 area code. Going once.
Okay.
Guess we're hanging up. Goodbye. Cool.
All right. Now, guys, I have one question for, since we've gone ahead and done ourselves, you know, the hosts of the Ooze. Should we move on to Zach, or should we wait till he's here?
Yeah, I don't think we should. I don't think that'd be fair. I mean, we talked about everybody as a group.
Okay. All right.
I mean, yeah, we were all on the line when we were actually doing it and everything else. So yeah.
Okay.
Zach knows what's wrong with Zach.
Yeah.
So, you know, like the thing
Let's
is,
be fair,
you know,
you're right.
what I like about Zach is Zach saw something he wanted to be involved in, saw something that he wanted to do with the Church of Satan, that he was hoping to get something out of the Church of Satan, that when he discovered it wasn't there, he just didn't quit on it and give up on it and decide that it couldn't happen. He actually has gone out now and tried to put it together himself. You know, the Satanic International Network is the thing that Zach was looking for in the Church of Satan. So, you know, kudos to him for putting that group together, and it's worked out. I mean, it's everything that he wanted it to be. It's the fastest growing, you know, Satanist forum on the internet, probably the biggest now. And it's, you know, the Satanic International Network promotes us, gets us involved, and meeting with a lot of other people. So, very cool stuff. And my Walt Perkersdock party is all about, you know, due to Satanic International Network. So, very cool.
If I could put another feather in Zach's hat, man. You know, he's had a lot of, because of everything that he's done, and, you know, when you're in the process of creating things, et cetera, you're going to get a lot of trolls, and you're going to get a lot of haters. And, you know, there was, you know, some drama back when, you know, he and I were beefing at one point. But you know what? This guy, even when he had drama, when he and I had drama, even when there was, like trolls and haters, he is willing to give these people a shot and say, hey, you know what? I was in the wrong. You know, like, and extend the olive branch at least one more time. You know, I think that's a very admirable trait. I think that needs to be recognized. You know, a lot of people get so butthurt, they're like, nope, never again, fuck you. Not Zach. Zach's like, you know what, let's give it one more shot. You know, this is a fair and honest deal. Here it is on the table. You want to take it? No? Okay. You know?
Right on.
Right, and that epitomizes something else that I think is important when you start collaborating with other people in this subculture. You want people who are grounded. A lot of what we're talking about, a lot of the different issues, whether it's, you know, being pumped up about your pedigree or wanting to be this, you know, this teacher, this messiah, or having this ancient organization or wanting to be sinister or whatever, it's artifice. It's facade. It's not being grounded, knowing who you are, and being real. And Zach is one of those people who is very real.
And it shows being a team player.
Right
on. Real quick again here, guys. I'm going to try to get this caller. They called back in. Caller 701, you're on the news. Awesome. Well, thank you. Hello? Hi.
Oh, you know what? I think they're using some sort of vote. vocator, like vocal distortion.
Yeah.
You know what? I think we should hang up on them until they're willing to call in and not use any kind of voice changing device. Because I can't understand anything they're saying. So, but if they're listening.
Give me a minute. I'll dox this phone number. I'll mute them, but I'm going to dox the phone number. What people don't realize anymore is we can see the numbers, and we can call you back whenever we want.
Yeah, so we can call in. You're giving us your information. We can call you at leisure, from payphones, from strange countries, and I've been known to do these things. So.
From dirty bathroom stalls.
Hey, I used to work a customer service gig for a telephone company that would remain unnamed, and I got somebody that pissed me off one day, not realizing that I had all their personal information, all their financial information, and everything else. And I used to twice a year drive across the country, and I decided one day after this incident, that while I was driving across the country, every time we made a pit stop someplace, I had one of those toll-free prepaid cards where you could, you know, you dial in a number and you call from a cell phone, but a payphone. I was calling this dude up, telling him basically that I was coming to kick his ass, I was coming to kill him. Told him his address. Are you so-and-so at this address? You're going to die, motherfucker, and just hang up. By the time I got to Illinois from Texas, he was almost crying when I called. Please, just what do you want? That kind of thing. So, not saying that will happen to any of our callers that are being assholes and screwing around, but just like I said, I've been known to do those things.
Right on. Right on. Well, it's a dangerous thing. If you, you know, if you piss me off, I tend to do little things like figure out what state you're in and then canvas the rest stops with your phone number. You know, for a good time, you know, call, best head ever, call, you know.
Right, right. Because truckers need love, too.
Yes, they do. And there's a considerable amount of sex offenders in that field for some reason. So, it works out all the same. But, wow, I can't believe we carried a almost two-hour discussion.
Yeah, we could keep going too, I'm sure. But I think what we're looking at now, we've talked about, again, we talked about the pros and cons. The pros are kind of the things that I know that if I were going to collaborate with other people, I would expect them to have their own shit together in their personal lives as much as I do. So I don't have to worry about, you know, them suddenly being homeless and not being able to be involved in whatever it is we've got going on and not being able to fulfill their end of whatever we're doing. To have a real idea of who they are and what they want to accomplish. I expect a sense of selfishness. They're coming in to get something out of collaborating with the group, not just, you know, collaborating with the group to have something to do. And they're grounded. They definitely, you know, they're serious about who they are. They're serious about what they want to accomplish. But then they also recognize that they're wanting to collaborate with a group for a reason. That they want to, that they recognize the limits of doing things on their own, and that seems to be the sum of these different traits that we're trying to that we've picked out from these different people, the positive things versus the negative things that they're doing.
Right on. I think it's inherently important also that depending on, you know, what kind of structuring you actually do have, maybe they're not as able as say you, Jason, but if the collaboration itself is not that high end risk factor, there obviously becomes a little more room in terms of, you know, that being something they can still do to kind of help develop that structuring. You know, getting involved in projects with other people always leads to betterment of yourself, even if you don't actually gain directly from the transaction, at least in terms of some form of profit. You know, you still get the experience of having gone through the collaboration and achieved something, and that kind of process can start to be applied in different fields in your life. Then once you understand how you work with people and how to actually accomplish goals with them, then all of a sudden it becomes easier to know what a potential employer might be looking for and to present that in front of him, because you're going, oh, wait a minute. This is what they want in the working world, So now that job that you have, you might just have the right words to say because you're focused on what it is, what it takes to actually do something in this world, which is to, project yourself, but not to the point where you're stepping on people's heads to climb up. You know what I'm saying?
Also, I believe the Fourth Way has something to say about that, don't they? Gurdjieff's teachings?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But we'll leave that out for now and just kind of stick with the more hardcore straight talk, if you know what I mean.
You got it.
Yeah.
Right. And even if you're burned in the process, even if it fails miserably, you still learn from the experience. You still should be able to take from that. More often than not, you learn more from a mistake than you do a success. So,
you know what, guys?
Yeah,
I have going off on a side tangent. When I worked with a band, it was one of the best experiences of my life. I still have that band is tattooed on my skin. All right, literally, and I wouldn't take it back, even though the band fell apart, even though there was drama at the end. I would not take it back because of exactly what you said, because of the fact that even in the positive and the negative, it was something there in my life that really pushed things forward.
Right on, right on. So yeah, so exactly what we're talking about. So even though it fell apart, though the experience was worth it. You learned from it.
I would never take it back for the life of me, ever.
And there's this echoing, there's this call in our subculture for people to begin to collaborate, for the subculture itself to have some sort of a direction or agenda or whatever, or that there should be some primary directions that are being explored. There are a lot of people out there that are opposed to that, absolutely opposed to that, that they insist on just a total individualistic mentality, even though they know in their own lives that's not even realistic. That this is what they insist on in this subculture because of how they define this subculture. And if they were to really live that way, they wouldn't grow as individuals. Their growth would be stunted because it only goes so far.
Right. And I believe that also, not just stunting their growth, but they also delude themselves into thinking that they're movers and shakers because they are Satanists, when in fact they're really just sitting, cowering in their basement.
Right, right. They're keyboard cowboys. And they're doing it for entertainment. They're doing it. I mean, as far as Satanism is concerned, Satanism is something that we do. Satanism is an activity. It's a behavior. It's a lifestyle. It's not just a title. It's not just a self-identifier. And every time I talk to somebody when they identify themselves and they tell me, "Hey, I'm a Satanist too," I always go, "What do you do? What is it you do? What do you mean by that? What are you doing as a Satanist?" And
have something to add to this.
Yeah, more often than not, I get, I don't know. And it's sad.
On the same note, I want to examine the opposition, really, the other side of the coin, I should say, the right-hand path. It's funny, I've noticed a lot of people say, I'm a Christian too. Oh, that's cool. We're the same, It's very interesting to see that. They say, I'm associated with this group too, so you should accept me. It's like that's one of the most beautiful things of the left-hand path. It's like, no, it's that whole, like I said before, merit, not inherit. Just because you say you're a thing, now live up to it.
Right on, right on. Well, we got about 5 minutes left. The 701 area code number looks like they pressed the number one to get our attention. Let me see what they 701 area code. You're on the ooze. What's on your brain?
701.
Nothing's on his brain.
Okay.
All right.
All right. At least he's not making those awful noises with that voice thing. So I muted him again, but he can hang out right there on the line.
Right on. Let me real quick. I'm going to. I tried to post a quote from Einstein and somehow got a little piece of a dictionary definition for something that I was working on earlier in its place, and I didn't realize it until after I posted it up. But I found this really interesting Einstein quote that kind of, I think, embodies the ideas that we're expressing here in terms of actually creating development. And what it says is that... all that is valuable in human society depends upon the opportunity for development according to the individual. In other words, it takes each person having the ability to develop themselves and work together in developing themselves to actually manifest something that's beneficial for all of society. And, you know... in the process, the person who's actually doing that developing is the one that gains the most, if you know what I'm saying. So.
Right on.
That is, I think we got our 701 back again. Hang on. 701? I have this sneaky feeling that this is Savik N. I don't know why. Savik? Oh, all right. So, goodbye. Never mind. A few minutes left. What's left, man?
I just tried posting a link and it didn't go very well. Let me try that again. Why didn't that work?
It probably didn't work because I screwed it up with pasting something I copied like an hour ago, and instead of pasting what I was supposed to paste, I don't know. Blog Talk Radio has its problems.
So no, we got about 5 minutes, and I don't know, Walt Pergesnack, man, that's the next big thing on my agenda is the party we're going to be having here. I know that. There's a party going on at Zach's place too, right?
Yeah, yes there is.
Yeah, I'm going to do my best to make that, but I need to make arrangements, you know what I mean?
Listen, Dark Fool, I know that if you can get to the area that Sammy's in, you can probably, carpool the rest of the way. And it's a very, very short distance. From you to Sammy in comparison to the whole thing.
Right.
I mean, get it, pop on there, look for Sammy Sam, pop on, Satanic International Network, look for Sammy Sam and hit her up. I'm sure she'll hook you up, man.
Okay, cool.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we're going to try to do some stuff. I don't know what they're going to be doing at Zach's, but here... I know that you're going to be calling during the ooze to just talk to us and talk to the different people that are here about Walt Pergesnack, about Satanism and stuff like that, and just what we're doing to celebrate. But we're also going to be doing some, we'll probably shoot some video and everything else. So there'll be some YouTube stuff. There'll be some pictures that'll go up online. So it'll be a really interactive party media-wise. So definitely something for our listeners to check out in about a week.
Cool.
Right on. Now, what I actually will need from you guys, both you and Zach, is when you expect to start receiving people, because I think we're going to schedule that Saturday show a little later, just so we can do what we want to do.
Wait, which one? The April 30th show?
Yeah.
Okay, the one that was on Fascism and the Left-Hand Path? Oh,
no.
Yes. Uh-oh. Okay, well then I better take down that other video I made regarding fascism and the left-hand path.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, it's confirmed anyways.
Right. From now on, you need to kind of hit Lexi up with what's going on, because she's the only person who really knows what's going on. So,
All right.
All right.
All right, we'll cross our wires, but it's under, we got the secretary, so now I know who to go to.
Right on. All right, let's, that's it. I mean, there's 17 seconds left. Anybody got any last minute thoughts?
That's it, man.
All right.
All right, catch you guys later.
Right on.
Yep, talk to you later.